New church evangelism is scriptural. It is a vital part of our response to the Great Commission. And our interest or lack of interest in church growth tests the quality of our Christian concern and compassion in a surprising manner. Jesus said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." When we look for a reason that the Father sent his Son, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The Father sent his Son to this world out of loving compassion that could not turn its back upon human need. Compassion is the quality of sympathizing to the point of being compelled to do something to help the object of our concern. God's divine compassion involved him eternally with our appalling human problems, our sin problem, our sickness, our lostness, our hopeless condition. His involvement cost God his Son. It cost Jesus his life. And when we accept the benefits of that compassion, it costs us something too. Early in his ministry, Jesus went to Capernaum in Galilee. He taught as an honored guest in the synagogue. He brought deliverance and peace where there had been suffering and torment. The fame of Jesus' mighty work spread abroad. By some of today's standards, he was a great success. But he was more concerned with the needs of people than he was with their approval. His compassion took him away from the crowds and into a humble home where he healed the mother-in-law of a poor fisherman. The news of her healing spread so quickly that by sunset, another healing service was in full swing. What a temptation such a development would have brought to many of us to settle down and enjoy our success. God was blessing and meeting the people's needs. Was not this enough of an indication that he ought to stay? Jesus didn't think so. He turned a deaf ear to the voices of success and found a quiet place to commune with his Father. But it didn't take long for the crowds to seek him out even there. And when they came to where he was, they gave him a unanimous call to stay in Capernaum. But Jesus had a vision that success couldn't dim. He had marching orders. "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Now what does Jesus' experience in Capernaum have to say to us about new church evangelism? For one thing, it reminds us that the popularity of our ministry and the message is not an indication for us to slow down the process of spreading the gospel. The compassion that kept Jesus thinking about those who had not yet heard should also motivate us. "So send I you," said Jesus. The temptation to settle down and enjoy the fruit of our labors at the expense of spreading the gospel in the regions beyond is both subtle and powerful. It is convenient to settle down where we are known and accepted. We work hard to build a certain Sunday school average, and once we reach it, we relax and congratulate ourselves. Or we pray and plan and give until finally we get through an elaborate building program. We dedicate the new facilities and get ready to enjoy the fruit of our labors. Then Jesus reminds us of the next town, and he urges us on. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Peter, James, and John found this out on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw God's glory there in the high mountain apart with Jesus. Everyone on the mountain was friendly. They understood each other. They were all with one accord. And the multitude that was forever making demands on the Master and his disciples was far away. That looked like the ideal situation to Peter. He said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, not just one, but three." Of course, there isn't anything wrong with an ambitious building program in itself, but the site Peter chose was too far removed from the crying needs that they had been sent to meet. The Lord Jesus determined to keep the disciples on course. He would not let them isolate themselves in a hilltop building program where the people were right at the foot of the mountain, were in such desperate need they could not have climbed to the three tabernacles for help. By leading them down the mountainside and right into the middle of human problem, Jesus was saying, "We can't afford to stop yet. Compassion compels us to keep on." He was telling them another thing that we need to remember too. He was saying, there are needs nearer at hand than you sometimes think. In their case, it was right at the foot of the high mountain where they saw the glory of the Lord. The trouble with these needs close by is that we tend not to see them many times. Through modern communication methods, we know so much and so quick. Before the wind dies down, we can hear about a city on the other side of the world that has been struck by a hurricane. We know about a disastrous earthquake before the dust settles. When these things happen, we get concerned in a hurry, and rightly so. The people involved need material help, and out of our plenty, we Americans want to give. Our foreign missions programs are built on a similar compassionate response to the spiritual needs of people far away, and they are compatible with the Great Commission which sends us into all the world. The last words of Jesus, when he sent his disciples in an ever-widening circle to the uttermost part of the world with a gospel witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 gives the order, but it was to begin with the need near at hand, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Neither by precept nor by example did Jesus ever go or send his disciples to some distant place while overlooking the compelling needs of the next town. The same compassion that compelled the Father to send his Son compelled the Son to send us. And to him, no human need was more urgent than the other. Some of the multitudes that followed Jesus did not particularly impress the disciples. After all, they were neighbors, folks they saw in the marketplace every week. They were people among them who had limped so long the disciples forgot that they were crippled. Blind men whose begging no longer touched them, much less their need for sight. These are not special people. They were just ordinary. But Jesus came to seek and to save ordinary people with ordinary needs. Seeing the multitude one busy day, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed their sick. The people clung to him. They didn't want him to leave. Toward the evening, the disciples said, "Send them away." But Jesus had never lost sight of the cause that brought him into the world, and he said, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Now that can be a jarring command. In the first place, you don't think the people merit a free meal. And in the second place, you don't have anything to give them. It takes Jesus to change your perspective. One of our ministers told of an unforgettable experience along this line. I was asked to speak at a service in a home in a neighboring community which had no church, he said. While in prayer for a message, my heart was directed to the 14th chapter of Matthew. The Holy Spirit strongly impressed me with the words of Jesus, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." As I meditated on these words, I began to weep with compassion for the lost of that community. Believing that the Lord had given him the message for that evening, He proceeded to prepare an outline around the text. And when the minister arrived at the home where he was to speak, he was met with an overflow crowd. It had spilled out of the house, onto the porch, and even into the yard. Many of the people who had gathered were unsaved. Suddenly, that preacher said later, I knew that what the Lord had given me that afternoon from the Word was not the message for the congregation at all. It was for me. Upon seeing my little multitude, these neighbors and friends of my host, I was again moved with compassion. And out of my heart flowed a message of love and the grace of God that brought lost souls into the kingdom that night. My friends, when this kind of compassion grips our hearts, it makes a difference in our actions and in our attitudes and in our priorities. At the outset of his ministry, Jesus said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is also why the Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit was not poured out upon us to give us a spiritual status symbol. He did not come to guarantee blessings for ourselves alone. He came rather to compel us to compassionate, God-directed outreach. With this divine direction and the anointing of the Spirit, let us go into the next town and the next until we have reached our own Jerusalems, our Judeas, our Samarias, and to the uttermost part of the earth with the glorious gospel of the kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you.